So tonight, Psalm 119, and last week we looked at seven requests every Christian should make. Seven requests every Christian should make based off of Psalm 119, verses 33 down through verse number 40. But tonight, we're going to start at the beginning, and this might be the start of a series going through this, because this is just exciting stuff. I mean, this is, if you want to get into the Word of God and learn something, you can learn so much from these psalms. So we're only looking at eight verses tonight. I'm going to try and get through them all tonight, so I'm going to be moving through some things. But tonight, we're going to be looking at important steps that we must take as Christians in living for God. One of the most important aspects of our Christian life is living according to the law of God. And one of the major temptations is to see God's law as a mere suggestion rather than the law of God. And tonight, in a message entitled, Law or Suggestion? Law or Suggestion, we're going to take a look at what the law of the Lord is and how we can go forward in it. What is a law? What is a suggestion? As a pastor, do we really have to define what a law is? Absolutely. In our day and age, we have to define what a law is, because it seems to be, everyone seems to think, not necessarily in our church, but in our culture today, that laws are optional, and that laws are suggestions. Laws are just a general guideline, and we need to have a biblical view of what law is. Also, what is a suggestion? And something also very important for us to know, what is a precept? What is a precept? And so we'll study through the first seven verses and touch briefly the eighth verse tonight. If we could stand out of respect for the ring of the Word of God, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1, down through verse number 8. And God's Word says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." I want us to pay attention to precepts because it is mentioned all the way through Psalm 119. Let's continue. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Verse 6. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our study tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word tonight. Oh Lord, that we would love it, that we would cherish it, and Lord, that we would see it for what it is, the law of yourself, the commands of thyself, the precepts of thyself, and Lord, that we would have a correct definition in our hearts and mind of what a law is, and what a command is, and what a precept is. Instruct us tonight, dear Lord. Make those things that are in our heart that are of thy law cemented in even stronger. That would build us up tonight, O Lord, that you would guide and direct. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Law or suggestion. Now, we're going to look at first some definitions before we go on tonight, because we need to have some clear meanings in our mind and in our heart for us to understand God's Word. That's important. God wants His Word to be understood. He didn't really give us the Bible for us to scratch our heads and wonder, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to follow this? Now, there are some things that are harder to be understood than others, but tonight, God wants you to understand His Word. He wants you to have a clear picture in your mind of what He wants you to do. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to going around in circles. Should I not, or should I do this? And we see here that there are some very important definitions to go along with what we're talking about tonight. God's Word has been written to be understood, obeyed, and practiced on a daily basis. Not a weekly basis, not a monthly basis, not a twice-a-year basis, but on a daily basis. One of the things that you will notice in many of the false religions of the day, that you can live many times however you want until it's time to get to the Mass or to the special holiday, and then you're to live according to the laws and precepts governed by that day. Well, as Christians who love the Lord God and love His Word, that we should live every day like that. We should live every day according to the laws of God, not according to what we think. So let's look at some definitions tonight. We're going to look at the definition of law. Now, all these definitions come of the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which, if you haven't noticed, I believe is the best dictionary we have in the English language, especially American English. I think it's wonderful. Noah Webster was a Christian, a very devout and saved man, and a great, amazing story of his life that he single-handedly compiled that whole dictionary during his lifetime, and God uses it in a great way. Why I like the Webster's 1828 dictionary is it gives definitions in light of what the Bible says. That's why I like it. And so we look at the law here. Now, this is not just God's law. This is a law in general. Law means a rule. Well, what's a rule? Particularly an established or permanent rule. Now, this is a long definition, okay? An established or permanent rule. Prescribed by the supreme power of a state to its subjects for regulating their actions, particularly their social actions. Now, this is talking about secular law. Laws are imperative or mandatory, commanding what shall be done. Prohibit. Now, this is the different types of laws. Laws are imperative or mandatory. This type, an imperative law, is commanding what shall be done. Now, a prohibitory law means one that restraining from what is to be forborne or forbidden. Or a permissive law, declaring what may be done without incurring a penalty. So you see there's three parts there. The imperative law, the command of what to do, the prohibitive law, what not to do, and then the permissive law, what we can do, we're at liberty to do without breaking the law. So that's important to remember when you're looking at the law of God. Remember those three right there, okay? Continuing on. The laws which enjoin the duties of piety and morality are prescribed by God and found in the Scriptures. Now, we have many laws about different things. So, Micah, I'm going to need your help for a second, okay? So why don't you come stand right up here in the front, Micah? I need your help. So tonight, we're going to look at what a law is and have a visible illustration. I need something heavier than this. Okay, so Micah, I want you to hold that. Now, Micah's holding a book right now. If Micah drops that book, what's going to happen to it? It's going to hit the floor. Why? Law of gravity. Now, who made that a law? Well, try telling scientists that. So now, Micah here doesn't believe in the law of gravity. He doesn't believe that there is a law for that, you know, and he believes that if he lets it go, it's just going to stay suspended right there. Now, if he did that and it stays suspended right there, we would think that he has some serious problems. But, so go ahead and just, so you don't believe that if you drop that, it's going to hit the ground. So let's just, I know you do, but just say, suppose you don't. So do you believe it's going to hit the ground when you drop it? No? All right. So go ahead and drop it. Look at that. It hit the ground. Why? The law of gravity. Now, did his not believing it was true change the law? Did it change the outcome? Thank you, Micah. And that's how we should view the Bible. Just because we don't believe it's what we ought to be doing doesn't make it any less the law of God. So tonight, it's a rule, something that is particularly an established or permanent rule. So we're talking about permanent, established rules. Now, we're not talking about, laws in the United States can be changed. Yes. Well, I'm sorry. God doesn't have a Supreme Court. God doesn't have a legislature. God is the supreme being of all. He is the judge of all. He is the creator of all. So he can make the laws for all, established for all of eternity. Amen? So I think we ought to get on God's page here. So when we look at the laws of God, especially mentioned here in Psalm 119, no matter how much we want them to change, they're not going to change. No matter how much we want to say that the outcome of sin is death, it's not going to change, even though we don't want it to be. And the world today is trying so hard to make us believe or make other people believe, and the devil's working overtime, and say that doesn't matter. God's law is not true, but over and over and over again, it's proven it is. Just because people don't believe it so, doesn't make it not so. It is. So tonight, that's the definition of a law. We haven't got this introduction. We haven't got the message yet. So here, now here's a second definition of precept. Now this is a shorter definition, but this is interesting. In a general sense, any commandment or order intended as an authoritative rule of action, but applied particularly to commands respecting moral conduct. The Ten Commandments are so many precepts for the regulation of our moral conduct. Now, as well, what does that mean? Well, we have the laws of God, the commands to do, the commands not to do, and also what God allows us to do within the liberty of a Christian. Now, tonight, what a precept is, everything is the law of God, but a precept is a law that governs our morality. If you think about it, everything that we do is considered right or wrong. That's called morality. And based on what our actions are based on, whether our actions are morally right or morally wrong. So a precept is the practical application of the law of God. A precept is what governs our morality. Thou shalt not steal. That's a precept. If we violate it, we violate the morality that God wants us to have. And we have done wrong because God's morality, God's standard of what is right, has been violated. And that law has been violated. And that's the definition of sin. The transgression of the law is sin. All right? Everyone with me so far? All right. Now, here, what's the suggestion? It's simply this, a hint. A suggestion is like a hint at something. A suggestion is something that someone hints at us and puts in our mind that we have the option of disregarding or listening to. Now, we don't see the word suggestion given anywhere in the laws of God. We don't see this word suggestion given anywhere in the Bible. We don't see the word suggestion. Now, we see some suggestions made, but always when those suggestions are made, it's always to do wrong. If you look at the Bible, it's a suggestion to do wrong. Now, maybe there's a couple of places where maybe, well, instead of looking at the law of God as to be done, well, maybe it might be a good idea to do it. No, we see God speaking to his people throughout the ages, this is what you should do. Never, well, you have the option of doing this. Never. And we must understand, is the law of God law or suggestion? God is not interested in hints. God wants his word to be clear. Remember, 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want us to be confused. Who does? The devil does. He wants us to be confused. He wanted Eve to be confused about what the law of God was, right? And she violated the law of God, the command of God, and sinned. So tonight, we're going to look at Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 1. Let's have these definitions clear. When we see the law mentioned, it's a rule established from eternity, past to eternity, future, by God. And David, as we saw last week, he loved the law of God. He loved it, and we're going to see why. So now we've looked at some clear meanings, number one. Number two tonight, we're going to look at the blessings of the law. We see in the first three verses, three blessings mentioned. Three blessings mentioned of the law of God. Okay, so now we're going to look at verse number one. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. All right, so now we see number one, blessings of walking. Blessings of walking. Now we see this phrase, walk in. Walk in. This has several implications to it. Number one, that laws, by their very nature, have boundaries. Laws have boundaries, or laws create a boundary which we must stay within. So if we're to be the undefiled in the way, I'll get to that in a minute, but if we're to get to be that, if we're to not walk in sin, we have to walk within the confines of God's law. And that's exactly what the world does not want to do. They want to walk outside of the confines of God's law. We see that with marriage today. And that people, they just shack up. They don't even get married. That is walking outside of the lines of God's law. we see that people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what people's birth gender are or whatever. You know, they can be whatever they want. It's just whatever they feel. That is walking outside the lines of God's law. They're not walking in the law of God. They're walking outside of it. And 1 John 3:4 tells us this. 1 John 3:4 is a very clear verse. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Now here's a definition for sin. Is the transgression of the law. Transgress means to cross over, means to go contrary to. So if we're to be walking inside of God's law, we're walking within the boundaries, and we are walking in the will of God. It is God's will for every person to walk within the boundaries of his law. But why does he want to do that? He wants to do that because sin is judged. He must judge sin. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse 29. Walking within the confines of the law. We know what walking out. Well, I don't want to walk in the confines of the law. I want to walk my own way. That's why I call it rebellion. We walk outside of what God would have us to do. Proverbs 11 and verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. I don't think that was it. Proverbs 11, I think it's 19. Yes, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So if you pursue evil, pursue outside of the law of God, you'll pursue it unto death. The blessing from God comes from staying within the bounds of his law, to constantly walk and to consistently apply. Now we see to walk in what? The way. This is the law of the Lord. There is no sin within the law of God. We know that with God there is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin. There is no unrighteousness. The law is perfect and holy and righteous. If we walk in it and we live by it, there will be no sin there. I said, Pastor, are you preaching sinless perfection? No, because the flesh constantly wants to get out of the law of God, wants to get out of the boundaries, and there are times when that happens. However, there is nothing in the Bible that says we have to live constantly in a sinful state. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we can walk undefiled if we keep ourselves inside of the law of God. But how do we do that? Now, you're not going to keep yourself inside of something that you don't love and care about. If you don't love the law of God and you don't see, and you know why people don't love the law of God? They don't see what it is. They see it as a bunch of rules and regulations. The law of God is not that. The law of God is, just as it says here, walking, it is a path, it is a direction, and when we see the blessings of it, when we see the purpose of it, when we see all that comes into our life as a result of it, which is what we're going to look at tonight, you will love it and want to be in it instead of away from it. People who say, well, I just think it's a bunch of rules and regulations, I tell you what, I'll chalk up, that is not someone who's had a relationship with God daily. That is not someone who has had a relationship with God in the Bible every day in prayer. That is not the words of someone who knows really what the law of God is about. That is an ignorant statement. That is a parroting of what the devil wants us to think. That's a parroting of what the world says about it. Guess what? And worldly Christians and carnal Christians, that's what they say about it. Well, I'm just not ready to commit that far. It's nothing, not about commitment. It's about just doing what God tells you to do. It's not, well, I'm not that committed. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Psalm 119, let's go back here to verse number 1. Sin is judged, and the blessing from God comes from staying within the bounds of his law. Now, the way is the law of the Lord. And we see in verse number 1 that blessed are the undefiled in the way. Undefiled. Now, actually, I had to turn back to Psalm 119 too fast. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. And verse number 4. Now we see, have a hint to this, that we're to remain unspotted from the world, meaning that the law of God and the bounds of it, and the Bible says it's a narrow way. It's not a wide path. It's a narrow way that leads to heaven. It's a narrow way of salvation. Also, it's a narrow way to live. We're narrow-minded people. right? That's what people say, well, you're narrow-minded. Praise God if we are. Amen? That we're narrow-minded in the laws of God. And inside of that law, inside of that path, it is a perfectly clean path. There's no sin there. There's no dirt there. The world can't get anywhere near it because the world has an aversion to the light and the holiness and the righteousness of God. And so they stay far away from it. But if we're walking in that path, Revelation 3:4, we see this in the message to Sardis. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Why? They're the undefiled in the way. They're the undefiled. They're following in the law of God. Look at Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Another reference given here. Jesus saying, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and what? Keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. How do you become that? Well, how do we do that? Walk in the law of God. How do we do that? Well, let's look at another blessing here. Now, this is God's plan for everyone. Now, look, we look here that there was a few among them. And this is how we view, and this is a lie of the devil. This is how we view this. Well, those are the people who God has specially sanctified to a special purpose. That's not God's will for every Christian. You're wrong. Here it is. Now, we look at the lives of D.L. Moody. We look at the lives of Billy Sunday. We look at the lives of the great missionaries, even in recent history. Even people that we know, we see, you know, ones like Pastor Harvey or Brother Starr and these people. I mean, they're going out for God and all of that, and they're just, God's using them to do a great work. Well, that's great, but God hasn't chosen me to do that. God can't use me like that. Now, maybe God hasn't called you to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. However, every single person, every single great giant of the faith came to a place that they were just like everybody else, that they didn't want to walk in the laws of God always. They liked doing it sometimes, sometimes not. But then one day they came to a decision. God got a hold of their heart, and they made a decision that they were going to be submitted to God, that they were going to be unspotted from the world, and that they were going to love this. And God did the rest. And God, that's God's will for everyone, not just a couple select people. It gets quiet. Because this is the lie that the devil has foisted on Christianity today, that those people were special. Yes, God had a special purpose for them, but what special purpose does God have for you that you're unwilling to do because you're unwilling to love the law of God and walk in it completely? There's blessings in keeping it. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 119, to walk in it, but also in keeping it. Psalm 119, keeping it. So young people, these are important attributes for you. For the older Christian, it's important for you as well. For all of us to walk in this way. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They have a desire to obey the laws of God, a desire to stay within the boundaries of the law, the desire to please the lawgiver, the desire to stay away from the consequences of sin, but they have a heart and eye that is single. Now, Jesus spoke of having a single eye in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But, in verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye be single. What does single mean? Having a single focus. A single focus. A single focus on what? Single focus on keeping God's law. A single focus on And that's the desire of the heart, not just an up here, well, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. We're to do right because we know it's right, amen? I know sometimes we don't feel like it, but right here, the psalmist is saying his desire, blessed be the person. God is going to bless the person that doesn't just do it because he has to, but he's going to be blessed when his heart's in it, all the way, with his whole heart, not part of it, not 90% of it, not 75%, not even 25%, but wholeheartedly is going to follow the law of God. The teaching is clear that if you desire to obey the law of God, you will seek after it. Wait here. We see this in the last part. And that seek him with the whole heart. If we really concerned about living a godly life, we will seek the scriptures. This is what the Bible says. And people that come, and there's people that have asked me questions at different times and things like that. I've had people even come off the street and come in here, and they say, Pastor, I have a situation going on. Can I talk to you? 9 times out of 10, they want money, but sometimes they just want some counsel. And they come, and I just tell them, well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Okay, Pastor. Well, and one person said, well, that's fine, Pastor, but I just want an answer to my problem. As I'm going to give you one, I'm going to give you what the Bible says. Well, I don't want that. I want another answer. So I don't have another answer to give you. That's the only answer I have. Do you realize what my job is? Telling people where to look. That's all I do. People say, oh, Pastor, you got like, you go counseling and do all this stuff. All I do is just show people where to look. What God says, God has the answer. I don't. I just show people where to look. And you know what? The people that I've seen go out and serve God and also get sin out of their life are the people that say, Pastor, where do I start looking in the Bible to get rid of this sin? I want to know. Where do I look? And I tell them, well, look, guess what? They devour it. They memorize it. They go for it. And guess what? They have victory over their sin because they sought it. There's in their heart, I don't want it. I'm going to you, dear Lord. I'm going to your word. And they devour it, and they read it, and they make it a part of them. They hide it in their heart. Guess what? God blesses that. He promises, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Seek after it. Don't wait around for it to just pop in there. Go to it. Take some work. You mean I actually have to study it? You mean I actually have to go to this thing in the back of my Bible that I don't even know what it is? It's called the concordance. You mean, Pastor, I actually have to read through chapters and chapters to find the verse that I need to find? Absolutely, yes. That's the answer. The answer is not your smartphone app. Yes, they have an app for that. You can go to your quick reference guide and things like that, but I encourage you, verses that we just pop out in that kind of cliche verses, and by the way, no Bible verse should be a cliche verse. I encourage you, read what becomes before and after it. It's powerful what happens before and after. Make it a part of you. Seek it every day. That's why we have devotions every day, not because it's just a good idea, but because it comes from a heart of seeking. We want it, Lord. We want it. Do you want it? Seek for it. And also, we see the third blessing here in verse number 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Blessings in the right way. We will stay out of sin. Injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude. Right here, that's what the definition of iniquity is. Injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude, meaning correctness. Once again, the concept here is that if we walk in the way of God, we will not be committing sin. You can't be committing sin and walk in the way of God because sin is the violation of the way of God. But this here, they have also do no iniquity. That's a blessing, isn't it? The do no iniquity, to have a clear conscience. The blessing in the right way. They do no iniquity. The trouble we have with our sin nature is that we don't want to stay in the way of the law. We constantly have to get ourselves back on the path of God's law. Now we've seen the blessings of the law. Second tonight, we're going to look at the responsibility of the law. We're going to move a little faster through these. Now that we've seen the blessings of the law, God wants us to see the responsibility we have towards the law. Here, let's take a look at it. Number one is verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. First part is heed the law. Heed the law. thou hast commanded. Remember who gave you the command. Not a suggestion here. It's the law of who? God, right? It's the law of who? All right, God. There we go. We're all waking again. All right, it's the law of God. So thou hast commanded. Therefore, we say, yes, sir. And we do it. Yes, Lord. That's what we all do all the time, isn't it? I mean, every single time God says, do it. And we say, yes, Lord. All the time. I mean, we never miss a beat. You know what? If we all did that, then Adam and Eve wouldn't have left the garden because they would have told the devil to get lost. You know how sin happened? A lack of the law of God, love of the law of God. And boil it down to that, a lack of belief in it to let someone cast doubt on it. By the way, if someone's casting doubt on your Bible, get away from them. If someone's casting doubt on the laws of God and the commands of God and the standards of God, hit the other way. Because you don't want to lose that love. You know, by the way, if someone came up to you, and so Brother Hallman, if someone came up to you and they started telling you how nasty and terrible they thought your wife was, I don't think that, by the way. But if someone did, better not, right? No, but I said, no, Carrie's wonderful. Carrie's wonderful. But let's say someone came up to you and said, you know what, I just really don't like your wife. She looks funny and all this other stuff. You know what's going to happen? Are you going to hang around that person much anymore? No. You're probably going to punch your lights out first and like, you stop talking about my wife, right? And guess what? When people start talking about my God and his law and they say, oh, you don't need to follow that. Do you know what? You need to live by it because I love it. Amen? That's a relationship with God. Just like we have a relationship with someone we love. Just an illustration, okay? Oh, everyone's smiling. Okay, everyone's smiling over there. It's good. No, they get on, they say, you know what Pastor said about my mom tonight? No. No. But that's what we're going to do, right? Heed the law. Now, how many of you have seen this? You've seen the T-shirts? You know, rule number one, you know, some of those parenting T-shirts. Rule number one, do what I say. Said, turn around for the back rule. What's rule number two? Obey rule number one. Right? How many seen that? You seen those? And the God kind of does this in his word right here. Heed the law right here. Thou hast commanded, let us keep thy precept diligently. In case you hadn't caught earlier on in the psalm, to obey the law of God, to walk in it, so that we do it diligently. So God's saying, what's rule number one? Lord, do what you command us to do. What's rule number two? Don't forget rule number one. But not only to obey, but diligently. So we see first heed the law, second diligence in keeping the precepts of God. Now remember what the definition of precepts is. This dictates our morality. This dictates right and wrong in our life. These are the practical applications of God's word every single day. God's law is practical. Someone made this foolish statement. Well, God's law isn't practical. You can't follow it today. Who said that? You obviously haven't read the Bible very much. Amen? I think it's kind of practical. We don't kill each other whenever we want. Right? Thou shalt not kill, right? And we shouldn't lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. She asked young people about Friday night when we got to that verse. Anyway, thou shalt not covet. Right? Where's Sarah? Oh, man, Sarah's not in here. All right. Anyway, thou shalt not covet. It's practical, right? You shouldn't be looking at things and looking after things that aren't yours and aren't yours to have either. Diligence in keeping thy precepts. So here's the precepts. Dictates our morality, our everyday living. Our actions are judged on whether or not they are moral or not. God commands our diligence to follow his law. What's the definition of diligence? Means steady application in business of any kind. What does diligence mean? Well, not that you obey it today, then you stop obeying it tomorrow. Or that you obey it on Sunday, and then we forget about it Tuesday morning or Monday morning. Or we observe it in church and at home, but then we get around our buddies or our friends or people at work. We no longer follow it. diligence means in all situations, doesn't matter, steadily, we will do it until the job is done. And by the way, our job isn't done until we get to heaven. Diligently keep it. The definition goes on. Constant effort. That's important. Effort to accomplish what is undertaken, exertion of body or mind, without unnecessary delay or sloth. Man, I love these definitions. You don't see these definitions in dictionaries today. Of mind without unnecessary delay or sloth, due attention, industry. I don't know the other word, but due attention, industry. There's some old words in here, but they're good words. Wish we still used them. Without unnecessary delay or sloth. What is sloth? We all know what a sloth is, right? They're lazy. They have grub moss growing on them. They move super slow. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to diligently what? Keep thy precepts. Keep them diligently. Every day. When you're tired, no matter how you're feeling, diligently. Diligence. It doesn't, having a relationship with God doesn't just happen. It requires diligence. We go, poof, there it is. There's my relationship with God. I mean, it's awesome. It just happened to me. That's why they're doing this when they're doing the worship stuff. They're trying to catch something. They're never going to catch it that way. It takes work. That's why people go to these seeker-friendly churches, because they just wanted to, boom, hey, I had a relationship. I have a relationship with God now. It's the best it's ever been. I can live the way I want. And you just totally disregard the whole law of God. But you feel good. Well, when you get before God, you're not going to feel good. When he asks you, all I wanted you to do was obey this. That's all I wanted you to do. It's just obey my word. To love it. To love me. That's all I ever asked of you. Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? What are the results of the law? So that's last, and I'll go through this quickly. The results of the law. Now, the law of God brings definite results. The keeping of it brings results. We see the blessings of it, the responsibility we have to keep it and to live by it. I skipped over one, verse 5. Though that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Who directs our ways to keep the law of God? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit keeps in the way, guides us into all knowledge, guides us into the path of righteousness. God's will is to walk in his law, and this should be the heart of every Christian. Lord, I want thy Holy Spirit to guide and direct me today. That's walking in the Spirit, and there's fruits of it, and some of the fruits are mentioned here in Psalm 119. So here are the results of the law, beginning in verse number 6. Now, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man reapeth, that shall he also, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, if we get into the law of God and we love it and we begin to plant the seeds in our heart, there is going to come to fruition some definite results. God's word never returns void. So right here, what is the number one result? Verse number 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. What's the first result? A clear conscience. A clear conscience. There is no shame in obeying God. There's only shame in sin. Sin brings shame. What did happen with Adam and Eve? While they were following God, they were without sin. Inside the confines of the law of God, they were naked, but they were not ashamed, the Bible said. But when they sinned, they went and hid themselves. Why? Some people say, well, because they were naked. No, because they were ashamed because of their sin. Their eyes were opened, and they were ashamed because of their sin, and they hid from God. Oh, isn't that what we do when we sin? We try and hide from God, hide and run, but God found him, didn't he? And God forgave him, but there were results that happened. And the reverse is also true. We always look at that in the sin, but also with the law of God, there's also results. Good ones. Number one is a clear conscience. This result only comes how? Now, there's important, very important I won't say caveat here, but a requirement for this result. I have respect, look at the last part of verse 6, I have respect unto all thy commandments. All of them. Oh man, I have a clear conscience because I only obeyed 50% of what God wanted me to do today. Who says that? Well, I did 75%. I did 99.9%. Doesn't say that. The only way that you will not be ashamed and you'll have a clear conscience is if you are a 100% believe the precepts and the laws of God and follow them and do them. But our churches are full of a lot of 75% and 90% obeyers. They believe 90%, but that that's extreme, Pastor. That's extreme in this world. Yes, it is extreme. It is. The world doesn't want to live the way God wants them to. The world wants to live its own way. But look at what's happening to the world. You know what? If you just look at the world around you, that's a great dissuasion to not walk the world's way, isn't it? The world is destroying itself because of its sin. Why we have a world full of perverts and violent people that just walk up and shoot and kill people, sin results in what? Death. And the world is destroying itself. But Christians don't have to be that. You can go to bed at night with a clear conscience. The college I went to, Pensacola Christian College, Dr. Horton had many rules there. Unfortunately, most of the rules at that college have been done away with. But the rules that are there, and someone asked Dr. Horton one time, why do you have so many rules? Why do you have all these rules about where they can go and with boys and girls and things like that and not to touch? By the way, that's not a suggestion. That's in the Bible. Amen? They're not to touch. That's not just a dating standard. That's Bible command. So if you just decide it doesn't apply to you, you're disobeying God's word, and God won't bless it. I'm just going to camp there for a second. I'm moving on. But right here, is they asked him why you had all these rules. He goes, my goal for every student at Pensacola Christian College to be able to lay their head down at night with a clear conscience. That's my goal in doing that. Well, aren't you just pushing morality on them? Guess what? God wants us to be moral. He's pushing it on us because it's the only right way to live. Amen? That's what the philosophy to say, well, you're just pushing your morality on me. It's the only right way. Right? Amen? So here, the precepts are the moral laws of God. I've had respect on all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. We see here in verse 7, a heart full of praise. You know what? Obedient people are joyful people. Isn't that something? Obeying all those rules and regulations brings joy to your life. The devil doesn't tell you that, does he? Having a clear conscience and living within the confines of God, I'm telling you what, everything is joyful. You're joyful. Even in the midst of hard times, you can be joyful. Obedient people are full of praise for God. When we live in obedience, we understand how good God is to us. Well, why? Because he's given us boundaries to live in and to live by. That's what we need. That is man's greatest need, is a boundary. And if we stay within it, God is so good to teach it to us and to give it to us right here. God's good. Also because we're able to be full of praise and joy because of our clear conscience. But there is a requirement to this result. Once again, there's a requirement. It doesn't just happen. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. David's heart was upright. He could praise God. In the first part, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Do you know why so many people can't praise God? When we have a praise service, we have some that praise God, but we struggle in Christianity today to really genuinely praise God for what he has done or even to see what he has done. You know why? We're not upright in heart. We haven't done right. We've done right maybe 99%, maybe 99.5%, but we're not there all the way. And guess what? We know when we haven't done what God wants us to do. We can't have the uprightness of heart. Our joy is not there. We don't see the goodness of the law of God. We see the chastisement that comes. There's two sides to God's law. There's keeping it, there's blessing. If violating it, there's consequences, chastisement, and the end result of sin, which is death. Many times we look at it that way, but we don't see the blessing of it. When our conscience is clear and we know that we are obeying all that God has commanded us to do, we have a heart full of praise and joy. Otherwise, we're defeated, and this is where the devil wants us. Doesn't want us to live defeated. So will you take this to heart tonight? Will you take to heart that God's word is the law, that the law should be loved and obeyed? If you live a life that is constantly outside the law of God, then you are in a sinful lifestyle. We define a sinful lifestyle as someone that's a prostitute on the street or a drug addict or an alcoholic. You can be a Christian. You can be sitting in one of these pews. But you live a life daily in your job and in your home and in everything else that's outside of this. In the way you think, in the way you talk, in the way you respond, in your attitudes, you are living in a sinful lifestyle. Even though you're not committing the terrible sins. Because you're outside of the boundary of God. You don't hear that preached much anymore. But this is why we're in the mess we're in America. This is why we're in the mess we are in our churches. If you live a life that is constantly inside the law of God, happy are we, joyful, full of praise. God will bless our families, our kids. You know, families that have their kids turn out right, how do they do that? They live within the side the laws of God. They live it and they love it every day. They teach their kids to love it too so that they may know how to live within it. So tonight, you'll never have joy, you'll never praise, you'll never have a clear conscience, you'll never be upright in heart. You'll only know defeat if you walk outside the law of God. But God can change all that tonight. Isn't it great? Because we see the condition that we are in, but remember, God can change it all. God can change it. God can change your heart. God can change your mind. God can change all of it to walking within his law. Won't you let him change you tonight? Or is it law, or is it suggestion to you?